James Duthie. It's his birthday today as well, and he's going to call in just a moment. Surprised he would accept the invitation, but at the same time, he's got nothing better to do.
You know right. that the announcement today was garbage when Duthie chimes in, because he doesn't really like to ruffle, and he's pissed. Like, he gets his golf in the mornings, in the afternoons with his buddies up in Aurora.
Both of them. Listen, I had a plan to tee it with him next week. We were going to go tee it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I never met that text chain. That was interesting.
I don't know what your wing is at, dude. You have to come off the IR.
The idea of asking was not even out there. It's
well, the cap ramifications. That's what it was.
That's right.
Couldn't bring you off the IR yet right now. So it's Duthie and Hayes, I guess.
You got a monster deal. You got a monster deal. You need to announce it to the world when you're swinging again. Maybe this is in your best interest. Maybe June 2nd, look at you. You'll be right out there feeling like $1 million.
Yeah.
But until you announce that your shoulder's back at 100%, I'm assuming you're on the IR, and I don't think I'm alone in that.
Okay.
Is that acceptable? Is that offside? What do you make of that?
How about if you're making arrangements moving forward, you get me involved?
Okay, you'll be included. Here he is, the birthday boy himself. Shocking he would accept this invitation.
Yeah. 55 years old today.
Oh, happy James birthday. Duthie.
Happy birthday, James.
I just want to know, would you have retweeted that thing if it didn't say my age? Was it really a birthday wish or just let's get it out how old this jerk is?
Are you 55?
I lie. I'm one of those guys. I do the opposite of most people. I lie up. I'm 42, but I lie up to make myself sound more mature.
I like that.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, I'm 45. Mm-hmm. You look younger than me. And you're 10 years older than
you. You look younger than Al's brother, too.
I've had a lot of work. You guys all know that. Been a lot of work
done.
You
dye your hair chestnut brown.
Look, once again, anytime on the show, $1 billion, bring in a hair genetic expert. Never.
Wow.
Done.
That's got great content written all over it. We will take you up on
that. Would be awesome. I'm sure you're ready.
Jimmy, what did you make of the speech? We're going to call it the speech, the dumb speech.
Okay. Well, a couple of things, and I'll try not to go on too long a rant. But
no, go ahead.
If he had just said, I know science says outdoor activities are safe, but I don't care. I want to shut everything down to make sure we end this thing. I could have accepted that. I'd probably be upset because I want to golf like everybody else or people who want to play tennis, but he's the premier. That's his call. But it's the explanations throughout this thing to me that destroy credibility, not just what he said today, but I've been following this in the news twice in Robert Benzie articles over the past week. There was quoted a source close to the premier, I don't know who that is, and one of the quotes was, golfers are only a small percentage of the population, so we're not listening to them, something along those lines, I'm paraphrasing. And the second quote, I believe yesterday, was, no way we are opening golf before schools. And my direct interpretation of those quotes is, A, we don't feel we'll suffer politically enough for us to care about golf, and B, the other one is, this is pure optics. They're worried about looking bad by opening golf courses before schools when they are absolute and complete apples and oranges and have nothing to do with one another.
And they know schools are done for the year. No one's going back to school this year.
And the other thing with today, and I don't know if you guys have talked about it already, but this whole POPs thing is just, it's mind-boggling to me. You've thrown all Ontario golfers into your misguided interpretation of reality. I can't speak for everyone. I only can speak from my own golf experience. And again, if you're talking about last summer, yes, we were allowed, you guys and I golfed together, believe, socially distanced on patios, you were allowed to have a beer afterwards, but the only context is this year, when there were regulations where you got to the course, you had to sit in your car until whatever, 20 minutes before your tee time, depending on the course, you played golf, you got in your car and went home, and where are you going for pops? There's no bars open anyway, so the guys that are going to go for pops, they're going to go for pops whether golf is open or not. They're going to sit in some guy's backyard or garage and break the rules. And to loop everyone into that, that's your reasoning for banning it. I wish he just said, look, I'm doing it. I don't care what you say. And don't give a ridiculous explanation. And if I can say just one more thing, and this is more a rant of context. I'm sure you guys have heard, you know, from those on social media or wherever who say you spoil golfers, this is all you can complain about, we're in a pandemic, some variation of that. And I think it needs to be said that the context of our complaints, whether it be golfers or tennis players or parents, whatever, of course golf is way down the list of important things. Of course, if we step back and think about the entire 16 months, we're angry about the lives lost and the way seniors and homes were treated and the businesses lost and, you know, the critical year and a half of proper schooling and socialization for kids. But outdoor activities is here and now, and it's something that would be an easy fix. And also, we're sports commentators talking to mostly sports fans. So it's okay to be angry about no golf or tennis or whatever your outdoor passion is, because these things matter to you. So I don't like the idea of shaming people for being angry about these things. They are important to people. Mental health matters. And we fully understand that no golf is not the biggest aspect of this crisis. But that doesn't make these decisions any less asinine or confounding. There you go. Sorry, Randall.
Yeah, no, that, I think that's very appropriately put. And furthermore, I had someone send me a text earlier. They're like, okay, let's say if Doug and the boys carpool and pops for golf, why is, like, basketball closed? Mm-hmm. Why is tennis closed? Like, is it carpool and pops for throwing a ball at the park? I don't think so. So it just there's just so many cracks in the armor. Mm-hmm. It immediately disintegrates into what we're dealing with here. But listen, it is what it is now. You know,
it is what it is. And look, I'm almost glad in a way that there's a date now.
But I'm not convinced that's the date. We've been doing this long enough, James. You know, this couple more weeks, hashtag couple more weeks. We've been doing it for 14 months.
I know, but look, we all just want to get through this, but it's extremely frustrating, and I hope that people vote next time they vote, whoever they want to vote for.
That's ultimately going to be, I guess, a part of the plan on every level of government in the future. Mm-hmm. But we'll see
that's
what
right. Participate
there.
In the elections, people.
Yes, there you go. Hashtag participate in the elections. What do you make of the jagged scheduling here, where the American side of the Stanley Cup playoff bracket will get started as of this weekend or early next week, and the Canadian mm-hmm. side has to wait for Vancouver and Calgary?
Well, I like it in the sense that it's weird, but I'm glad they're doing it that way, because I think we all want to get on with this thing, and that probably includes the players and everybody else. So as strange as it is, you know, and basketball's done this for ages. I'm not sure they do it anymore, but I can remember for many years there, you'd have, you know, NBA, some team in game 5 or game 7 of the first round, depending on what it was back then, and the other team would be in game 3 of round 2. Right, that happened all the time in the NBA. So I think it's a smarter thing just to get the season over with as quickly as possible. I know that I got a note today. I'm sure you guys did. That our playoff preview show, I think, is Monday at 4:30. After how many days of playoffs? Was the first game Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday night, yeah. Boston, Washington.
So you got some games Sunday, and then we're doing a play. So we'll be doing our very first playoff preview that involves series already being on, which will be kind of more interesting when we do predictions, if people are going to lean towards the teams that are up 1-0 or whatever. But I'm okay with it. Like I said, it's weird, and it's weird that regular season games will be going and still, but let's just do whatever we can to get this thing over at a reasonable time, July 10th or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I understood the reasoning behind you've got to finish off the division, Calgary, Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm getting to a point where I'm changing my mind. Like 48 hours later, I'm like, why? Like, those games are totally irrelevant. They have no bearing on the Leafs, the Habs, the Oilers, or the Jets. Like, I know the reasoning is the TV network. I believe, and TV obligations and all that. I get it to an extent, but why can the Leafs and Habs not start on Monday? Edmonton, Winnipeg not start on Sunday or Tuesday? You know, mm-hmm. like that. Those games are completely irrelevant to anything, and mm-hmm. Originally I kind of knew it was coming, and maybe that's how I reasoned with it. Now that I put more thought into
when you were asking me that previous question, were you saying, you know, as to why they were waiting to Wednesday for the Leafs?
I mean, just your initial opinion, right, of things. Yeah, I mean, and I've concluded now, I'm like, I don't understand. Why can't we just get going now?
Yeah.
Well, why, you know, the
it's not offensive.
No, like, forget right. Vancouver and Calgary. Sorry, it sucks. Like, you guys got to play it out. But the rest of the country doesn't care anymore anyway.
No, I would agree with you on that. I would agree with you on that, Brian. And the other thing is, and you're right on the TV deals, and that's why they have to do it. But, boy, if I were the players on those teams, too, I'd be like, let's just pack it in and get out of here, particularly Vancouver and the run they've had. And you know, if somebody, again, if Quinn Hughes or something, knock on wood everywhere, you know, was to tear an ACL or something in one of these last games, that would be a shame, and they would have a legitimate beef. So it's a bit of a crock that they're playing, but I guess historically, too, not just beyond TV rights, they want to have everybody playing the same amount of games, but it is a little weird and silly.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
James, we were talking yesterday about the Canadians versus the Leafs and just how people our age are just like, wow, they're playing each other. It's so historic. They haven't played since the 70s and just the history of it. Do you think these kind of millennial kids think anything of it, or are they just playing Montreal in a playoff series?
I think you're probably right. I don't think there's probably a lot to it, particularly maybe there'd be more, again, with the fans, and this still really bothers me that it's happening this way. I mean, just 1979 is, we've lived our entire lives and not seen this series, and then we see it in this, and I think it's one of the great shames of these playoffs, and I'm trying to get over it, and I'm sure once they drop the puck in game one, I will get over it, but it really bothers me that we're not going to have a full building in Toronto and a full building in Montreal and all the usual Habs versus Leafs stuff. It's such a shame, but I think you're right. So you add those two things together, no fans, and the fact that most of the kids have no clue, beyond the fact that it's Toronto and Montreal, and they've probably seen some cool montages and teases that we've run. I think it's just another, it's nothing to them, but another series.
Yeah.
Which is
and,
too bad.
Yeah. Well, and also you're not going to be able to fully experience it, right? Like you're not going to be witnessing Toronto at the same level, Montreal at the level it's known to be, and the stands are not going to be packed. So I'm not sure what the reaction will be once they get to the end of it either.
This entire first round has, I mean, I have to look back, but I just feel like over the last decade or 15 years, if you were to take this in a normal year, this is one of the great first rounds we've had in a long time. You know, obviously it wouldn't happen normally in divisions, but to have two all-Canadian mashups, to have Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Toronto, Montreal, to have the Battle of Florida, there's about to have Chara, you know, playing against the Bruins when none of us ever thought he would not be in a Bruins uniform. There is five or six ridiculously good matchups in these playoffs, and like I said, I just feel it's all a little lower case because of the situation we're in.
Yeah, you're right. Like, there's still, I mean, Vegas and Colorado, I mean, trying to sort stuff out, but like I think there's going to be some great matchups south of the border. Obviously, they're going to start earlier, which is a bit weird when you were talking about, Brian. Like, it's, you know, we're waiting for the Leafs and them next Thursday. Like, you know, one of these teams could be up 2-0.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. 2-3 that night.
Game three that night, you're like, well, Boston or, you know, Washington's really, like, it is a bit weird, but I'm excited about it. Like, James, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but we were on air, but Rod Smith, I thought, took a shot at Hayes. I don't know if you heard about this. Did you? Because he was talking about, we were talking about it, you know, we weren't alive, or I was a young kid in 79. When they last met, Rod was like, Hayes, I was around. I remember it. So
I saw the video afterwards, and it was tongue-in-cheek. To my boy Rod wouldn't do that to me. Wouldn't bury me on SportsCenter like that.
It was brilliant.
I mean, what do you want me to do? I wasn't born in 79. I mean, I'm just stating a fact.
You're right. My point is I think these young kids still understand the magnitude of the history of these organizations head-to-head. Yeah, they didn't live it, but they've lived it every day of their lives where somebody's a Habs fan or a Leaf fan, and those fan bases don't like each other
anyway. And the coaches know it. Right? Like Sheldon Keefe knows it. Dominique Ducharme knows it.
You know, their parents are telling them, or their coaches are telling them, or usually, and you guys would know, all three of you would know better than me, that there's somebody in the dressing room. You know, Winnipeg's got a guy like Shifley, who's a hockey historian, and there's usually one guy or a couple of guys in every room, right, that would be saying, giving some context to what it means.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well,
did you like that, Hayes?
Yes, I did. I did. Thank you. I appreciate it. So what are the birthday plans for you, Duthie?
They're massive. They involve, let's see, before I got on the line with you, I was chipping with my son in the backyard.
Nice.
And I guess there's some dinner. There's some dinner happening, some big dinner plans they haven't told me about, which probably involve, like, normally eating dinner. Somebody saying happy birthday because there's nothing else going on. There'll be a dog walk. That'll be the highlight, probably.
Okay.
There you go.
We're
going to have some pops.
Yes, have some pops tonight and kick back and relax. And everyone can, I think, use some of those positive birthday vibes. So
there's some insider trading, too. A little insider trading coming up before the birthday festivities begin. There you go.
All right, man. Good luck with that. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, boys. Take it easy.
There he is, James Duthie from TSN Hockey. Insider trading coming up tonight. And, playoffs begin on the weekend south of the border. And Edmonton, Winnipeg will start next Wednesday. So that Calgary-Vancouver game goes early afternoon. And then I want to say, is it a 9 o'clock start? 8 or 9 o'clock start Eastern time. We're going to have Canadian content playoff hockey as of Wednesday. So we're less than a week away from that.
And, exactly. Fired up.
Yeah, let's get rocking here. I think we're all looking forward to it.
Positive Thursday. We're going to get
moving
out
on.
Of this. We're getting
moving
out
on.
Of this here.
I'm done with it. I'm not going to. Not complaining anymore. No one wants to hear us complain about it.
Exactly.
So that's it. Although I know we're not alone. I think a lot of people, regardless of what you're into, what you do, what you want, people are frustrated.
Think about the grit grinders, Hazy. What Doug Ford's done for the grit grinders. Because Doug Ford has now officially got every marshal going to do the bouncer shakedown of everyone's golf bag every time, and you know what goes in that golf bag.
Yeah, those industrial-sized golf bags that have a 48-pack of
Coors
Light.
Are there booze
there.
Bags that bring that much on the course?
Oh, dude, man, there's golf bags that are disguised as coolers. You just unzip one giant zipper, and it's a fridge.
I got to hear this. Like, we got to have, like, I want to hear about a guy you've golfed with and what he's brought to the course with him in his bag.
Okay. We'll come back with that. No problem. The top of my head,
I can't name the one guy, though.
No, not naming
names. No
names.
Not naming
just
names.
Like,
okay.
What
just
you've laid them. Eyes on at 9:30 on a Tuesday morning. You know
I
what
played
I mean?
Golf with a guy that looked Dave Poole and straight in the face at 7:10 a.m. and said, "Would you like a cold beer?" I looked at him. I said, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Oh, he was like, "No thanks."
I know. I don't understand that. Like, I'm not a big drinker on the course. I'll have a couple of beers happily, but I also will go, 15 rounds straight without even thinking about having a beer.
Right.
But yeah, you get drinks cooking in the morning. Cigar guy is a big part of the rotation.
I know.
And then there's weed guy too. Where
weed vape guy?
Weed vape guy is.
You golf stoned?
Oh,
I played golf with a guy, full-blown, whole joint. I don't know anything about joints. Whole joint to himself, first fairway, par 5.
Yeah.
And it would be crushed by the green.
Oh, I've experienced that many times. I've got buddies who they're convinced they're better at golf.
Oh, really? I love that line. I can't play without it, they say.
Yeah, just I'm not going to be able to put it together. I won't be able to click today unless I smoke the largest joint you've ever seen down the first fairway.
Getting their levels
that's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then they always offer it up. Like, you want some? I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for right now. It's 7:45 in the morning.
No.
I need to be stoned right now playing golf at a really nice course. I couldn't
that's
imagine
awesome.
Something I'd want to do less.
No.
But thank you for the offer. I appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of the game. I can't wait to see if you put it together here.